message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. Happy art thou, O Israel, exclaimed Moses. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? Perhaps no feast of Israel points so clearly to the glorious age yet to come as does Sukkot, also called the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. As A.J. Overton indicates in today's broadcast, the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles points to the past as well as to the future, reminding God's chosen nation of important historical events and of His providential care for them. I'm happy to present our Message to Israel voice for this special holiday broadcast, A.J. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings, friends, again in the name of the Lord Yeshua. He who has not seen Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles, the old rabbi said, does not know what rejoicing means. This most joyous celebration very appropriately followed the Day of Atonement, when the people had been cleansed from their sins and restored to covenant relationship with God. The third book of Moses gives these instructions. On exactly the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the crops of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of Jehovah 7 days, with a Sabbath on the first day and a Sabbath on the 8th day. Now on the first day, you shall take for yourselves the foliage of beautiful trees, palm branches, and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before Jehovah your God for 7 days. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. So that your generations may know that I had the sons of Israel to live in booths when I brought them out from the land of Egypt. Now one may see easily in the imagination God's people streaming toward the temple in Jerusalem. Every male was required to appear before the Lord on this the 7th of the divinely appointed festivals. They came with their families from every town and village throughout the land, and even from distant lands. They brought with them their tithes and freewill offerings, for the command stated, they shall not appear before Jehovah empty. The temple treasury, nearly empty, was opened to be filled by their gifts, so that the poor and needy might receive from their abundance, and that God's work might be supported. Even today, where possible, Jews the world over may be observed erecting booths during this time. This is indeed Israel's great Thanksgiving festival. This great agricultural celebration especially commemorated God's marvelous provision for Israel during the 40 years they dwelled in tents and booths in their wilderness wandering. Throughout the entire desert journey, Israel enjoyed God's special protection and unusual supply. This Feast of Tabernacles served to remind them of God's continued protection and blessing during all the succeeding years. The distinctive teaching of Sukkoth is that of the divine providence. God faithfully watches over Israel, the individual, and all humanity. The particular virtue stressed is that of gratitude. God's goodness is extolled in special psalms, and the book of Ecclesiastes is read today in the synagogues during this celebration. 3 basic symbols became representative of Sukkoth: the booths, the lulav, and the ethrog. The booths reminded them of their past history as pilgrims in the wilderness experiences. they were exhorted to recognize that they were yet only pilgrims and sojourners on the earth. The lulav consisted of branches of palms, myrtles, and willows, all fastened with a golden thread. What an unusual sight this must have been, as each waved his lulav during selected portions of the temple services. Every person also came to the temple holding an ethrog, or citrus fruit. These were symbolic of God's blessings in the land of promise. The boughs of goodly trees in the booths and that made up the lulav recalled significant wilderness experiences. It is interesting to note some of these. At Marah in the wilderness, the bough of a goodly tree cast into the waters turned their bitterness into sweetness. At Elam, 70 palm trees were found with 12 refreshing wells of water. The palm tree became the emblem of the flourishing of the righteous. This was Israel's condition as long as she sought the Lord. The willow reminded them of their sorrows in the wilderness. In their later history, it also spoke of their captivities. By the rivers of Babylon we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows. The olive branches possessed great symbolism. The olive wood was prominent throughout the temple. The olive became a symbol of fruitfulness, of testimony, and of Israel's relation to God and His special purpose for them. The prophet Jeremiah declared to Israel, "The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit." Nehemiah gave the description, "wild olive trees," to the pine branches. These were to be grafted into the olive trees, those redeemed from all Gentile nations. The prophet Micah declared, "And many nations shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his way, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." This was the prophetic message of the Feast of Tabernacles. The number 7 was prominent in the sacrifices of this celebration. The bullocks offered decreased in number each passing day of the feast. The ancient rabbis taught that there were offered during this feast the 70 bullocks to correspond to the 70 nations in the world. These sacrifices on behalf of the nations looked forward to their conversion to the God of Israel and their eventual gathering under the blessing of the Shekinah glory. In a peculiar symbolism, the priests marched in procession in a daily circuit around the altar singing. On the seventh day, they made the circuit 7 times, recalling the fall of the walls of the city of Jericho. They thus anticipated the fall of the walls of heathenism before the God of Israel. 2 outstanding features later characterized the services of the temple during this celebration: the pouring of water and the brilliant illumination of the temple. The pouring of water possessed a twofold significance. It was a symbolic prayer for abundant rain upon which Israel depended. It also spoke prophetically of the Messiah and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Israel and all the nations in Messiah's future reign. The last great day, the day of the great Hosanna, had special messianic significance. It was on this last great day of the feast, during the pouring of the water, that Yeshua, Jesus Christ, stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scriptures said, From his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. A central feature was also the illumination of the temple. The festive pilgrims bore their torches into the temple to add to the lights of the great golden candlesticks. The temple became one brilliant focus of light in Jerusalem. In the midst of this splendor, the Lord Yeshua, Jesus Christ, declared, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." At the return of Christ, the words of the prophet Zechariah will know their fulfillment. "For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east. Then it will come about that any who are left of all the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles." We may look even beyond this millennial reign upon the earth into eternity future. There we see a great multitude clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, saying, "Hosanna to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." Behold God's Lamb, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world, the Lord Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Will you trust him?